Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Good morning, Blue Oaks. Happy Father's Day. Okay, I want an applause for all the dads here, the grandpas. Let's give them. If there's one next to you, give them a little. So glad you're here and you chose to come here for Father's Day. This is the place to be, is church on Father's Day. So welcome. Excited you're here celebrating. Hope you have some fun plans after. Last time I was here last month, it was 1 week before my son was getting married, and I told you I would bring some pictures. So I did. This was the wedding. It was wonderful, beautiful. This is my beautiful new daughter-in-law, Cameron, and my daughters, and my husband, and we got to celebrate God's goodness in their union. I also told you that as a mother-in-law, I was going to come back different. With my new role, I said I didn't know if I'd be taller or fatter or smarter or what was going to happen, but something would happen. And guess what? Something did. You probably can't see it from where you're at, but I had a situation with my eye where I had to get Mohs surgery and a little chunk of my eye out. I'm not blaming my daughter-in-law. This was actually planned before that, but I brought a picture that this is from just about 2 weeks ago post-surgery. Isn't that awesome? Pirate Wendy. So they tape this across my face, and the doctor says, I want you to keep this on for the next week. So I'm like one-eyed Wendy for a week. That was me. And so I sent this picture to my best friend, of course, who lives next door. And she said, that's amazing. That looks like something we have in our house. And she sent this back to me. So this is what, I mean, everybody's got utensils. So if it fell off, I knew a backup plan, like I could go to her house, just get some disposables and slap that bad boy on there. And today we're going to be in Romans 16 talking about this. Not exactly this, but it's close. It's Paul talking about the people, the friends in Rome who walked alongside him in the faith and supported him. And stuck their necks out for him and did ministry with him and hosted them in his home. And this is just me, so this is not directly from the Bible, but I think probably some of those people were like eye patch friends. So he's giving a shout out to his eye patch friends. So this is a smooth transition right there. Okay, now historians view Romans as one of the most valuable historical documents of the first century. So do I have any history nerds here? Anyone that loves history? Okay, a few of you. Go down this rabbit trail. I don't have time to take you down it, but I went down it. It's pretty amazing, the book of Romans and what it teaches us about history and how historians use it to extrapolate other things happening at that time during Rome. And so it's this valuable historical document. It's one of the best documented and most reliable preserved texts from antiquity. Tons of manuscript evidence. It's a masterpiece of theology as well. And yet, in all of the theology that Paul brings, he closes us out in Romans 16, not with fancy talk, not with theology, but with people. And not just any people, an unlikely family that the gospel has created. He's like a spiritual father checking in on the people who have helped him in raising the church. And there's three parts to Romans 16 that we're going to break down this morning. The first part is Paul's greetings, or what I would call his shout outs to faithful believers in Rome. He gives that celebration of the unlikely family. And then the second part is his warning to them, his warning, his protection for that unlikely family. And then the third part is his concluding thoughts and his praise to God, his unlikely family that's sustained by God. So let's get into part one, the unlikely family celebrated. And as a reminder, if you've been in Romans with Blue Oaks, you know that Paul was a Roman citizen writing this letter, but he had never been to Rome at this point. He was a citizen by birth, but had not been to Rome. So some of these believers that he's giving his shout outs to, he maybe didn't know. And others he met maybe when they were exiled by the Emperor Claudius. If you remember last month, we talked about how there was this friction and tension and division that Christians were causing with the Jews and Gentiles. And so some of them just got kicked out and exiled. So when they were in exile outside of Rome, that's when Paul built relationship and did ministry with some of these people. But this gospel, this good news of Jesus, creates this unlikely family. You've got women and men. You've got Jews and Gentiles. You've got the slaves. You've got the freed persons. You've got house church leaders and ordinary everyday believers. Wealthy, poor, you got Paul's prison buddies. Scholars and historians estimate that during this time, about AD 57, there was about 1 million people in Rome at the time of Emperor Nero. The estimated number of believers at that time in Rome was about 200. Maxing at 500, scholars would say. So 1 million people and two to 500 believers, like 0.02% of the population. This countercultural little family in Rome following Jesus. If we were to compare it to Pleasanton, Pleasanton has about 75,000 people. So 0.02%, 15 people. I think when we read in scripture and we think about Christians and what they're doing, we're thinking of like mega churches or something. It's like these just little house churches. This is little engine that could of believers that are following this Jesus and then telling their friends about Jesus and then telling their friends about Jesus. And then the church grows and grows and grows from there. So we're going to look at some of those few faithful followers that Paul gives shout outs to in Romans 16 verses 1 through 16. We're not going to cover every name, but again, if you're a historical geek, go down that road because sometimes the names and the regions and the cities they're mentioned gives you a little tidbit about why they were significant to be mentioned or what they did in the early church. But we're going to just cover a few starting in verse 1 through 2, Romans 16, 1 through 2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. In the ancient world, there was no public postal system. There was no, and then Amazon is on your porch. Some of you are going to go home to Amazon on your porch right now. That was not happening. If you wanted a letter delivered, say from Corinth to Rome, you had to trust someone to physically take it there by land, by sea. They would have to deliver this letter. Many scholars believe that Phoebe was that person. She carried the actual manuscript from Paul for the book of Romans, probably a 2 to 4 week journey for her. Also in the ancient world, those letter carriers were served as they served as trusted representatives of the sender, delivering the sender's letter, answering questions, explaining the intent, and helping answer questions. Because Romans is Paul's most complex theological work, it means that a woman was most likely the very first person to teach and answer questions about it to the house churches in Rome. That was completely unheard of at that time. Phoebe was also called a deacon, one who serves, a faithful believer. She used any resource she had to help Paul. And Paul said, help her out. When she comes to you, help her as she has helped me. Shout out Phoebe. The next people we're going to talk about comes from Romans 16, 3 through 4. Priscilla and Aquila. Isn't that a cool rhyme right there? Like, I feel like they should be a rapping husband and wife group. Priscilla and Aquila is gonna be a thrill. Okay. I don't know, you're going to remember that now forever, and your children will be crawling under their seats. Okay. Romans 16:3-4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their home. It is notable that she's mentioned first. This husband and wife team were among Paul's closest ministry partners. We learn from Acts that they were Jews and fellow tent makers like Paul, and they met him when they were kicked out. They were one of those kicked out groups that Paul then connected with outside of Rome. But he says all the Gentile churches are grateful for them. And so earlier in Romans, as I talked about, we had this tension between the Gentiles and the Jews and saying, well, what do you eat and how do you celebrate? And we're going to fight about these secondary issues. Priscilla and Aquila were a great example of people who were able to bring both sides together in unity, as Paul had called to be unified amongst your differences. They were doing it right. And then we see their theology in action in Acts 18. When they take a highly educated, passionate preacher named Apollos into their home and gently teach him. So Apollos is teaching what he knows of the gospel, but he's a little bit off. He's teaching about John the Baptist and baptism, but missing some parts. And so Priscilla and Aquila pull him aside and said, hey, that was a little bit wrong. Let me help you and teach you what you don't know. They invited him into their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately, the Bible says. So they helped teach. They helped host. They risked their own safety for Paul. Regardless of people's backgrounds, they were welcoming people in. So shout out to Priscilla and Aquila. See? I mean, do you feel that? Okay, maybe it was just the first service. Shout out to them and their home church. Andronicus and Junia are the next ones on the docket here. Romans 16:7. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. A pair of believers, likely a couple. They have Greek-Roman names, but Paul calls them Jews. And they're his prison buddies. They are familiar with suffering for the gospel, like Paul. And scripture says there is outstanding among apostles. Junia is almost certainly a woman's name. And some understand Paul to mean that Andronicus and Junia were apostles themselves. So male and female apostles. And others believe, well, maybe they weren't apostles, but they were highly esteemed by the apostles. Either way, Paul is giving them the highest of commendations and giving them a shout out. Shout out, Andronicus and Junia. And then lastly, I had to stop on Verse 11. Let me read it and I'll tell you why. Greet those in the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Okay. Who names their kid Narcissist? It's not Narcissist, but kind of. Narcissus apparently was a common name amongst freed people and slaves, but I wonder if they called him Narc for short. The root word is actually narcotics. So maybe you don't want to like manifest that on your kid. Like, I think you're going to be a drug dealer. Let's name you Narcissus. Anyway, but that's not really the important thing about Narcissus. Here's the thing. Most scholars believe that this refers to a household connected to a man named Narcissus, a powerful figure in the court of the Emperor Claudius. So he was a big dog. He wasn't hopefully not a big dog drug dealer, but he was a big dog working for the emperor. Fancy people, high society. The gospel had made its way there. So it's gone to the prison people, to the poor, to the slaves, to the free. And then at this time, they believe that Narcissus was already dead. So in his household, these people maybe were servants in his household, and the gospel had reached them. So this group of unlikely believers come together with their ordinary faithfulness in every class of people to serve Jesus and spread the gospel. Shout out to NARC. Now, what's the challenge and the application for us? Be a light wherever you are. be a light wherever you are. Whether you are a student or a CEO, bring them Jesus. Whether you are in a place where you are surrounded by believers, you're at a camp, you're at a Christian place, be a light wherever people are at on that journey. Some of you might feel very lonely in your job or in your school because you're thinking, I'm the only Christian. There's barely any of us. That's okay. Be a part of the bigger unlikely family and spread the love of God by the way you love and serve and live out the gospel like these faithful believers in Romans 16. It is you and me who spread the gospel. To the skeptical, to the marginalized, to the hurting, to our jobs, to our schools, be a light wherever you go. Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. So he's saying, everybody, all the Jesus people say hi and make sure you greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, something you need to know about scripture, you can't take every verse and just apply it and think it's a command. So this is not a command for us to all start kissing each other after church. But there is something we can take from it. But I got to stop on this real quick. So I watched Matt's message last week. How many of you were here for that or watched it? He was talking about calling. And when the Lord first called him and he went to youth group, this youth group, because there was hot girls there. And I bet you like half of the guys here, that's your story. You're like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Someone invited me and there's a cute girl. I mean, my husband's here right now and I know he would say that. Whatever your motivation, get to youth group, kids. And don't take this verse though to youth group and be like, I am really into the Bible. It says greet one another with a holy kiss. So, hey, ladies, all that's to say, don't take scripture out of context to the youth group. Okay. Here is the application though. So even though it's not a command to go start kissing everybody in youth group right now, there is something that we can take for us. And that is this. During that time, that thought of giving that kiss like the French do, it was very common in the Eastern Greco-Roman worlds to do a kiss on the cheek or on the forehead and the hands. It was standard. It was standard with your family members or people in your social class. It was standard for your people. But what Paul's saying is greet everyone with that kiss because you now have this new unlikely family and you got someone from Narcissus's household. You've got somebody that just got out of prison. You got someone who is poor, who is slave, freed. This is our new unlikely family and greet them like you would family. So that's what he's saying here. And that's the application that we embrace that unlikely family. On Father's Day, we honor our protectors. Good fathers don't just celebrate their children and give them shout outs, but they protect them. And that's exactly what Paul's doing next here. He is giving warning to his family, like a good spiritual father does. He's warning them to watch out for those people who would like to tear that family apart. Romans 16 verses 17 through 20. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Watch out for the divisive people, Paul says, who cause division, who offer contrary teachings to the gospel that's laid out in Romans, who are serving themselves instead of Jesus, and are pulling people away from the gospel with their smooth talk and their flattery. Verse 18 says, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Churches are rarely destroyed from the outside. More often, they're damaged from the inside, through pride and self-promotion and false teaching. Paul says, watch out, stay away. We're seeing this all the time. This has not changed from this tiny little group of believers to now over 2 billion believers in the world claiming faith, over 2 billion people. We're seeing this all the time. People who claim to be Christians and then don't act like it. And I think social media and our access to information and media all the time has really exacerbated what we see and realize. And it's frustrating. I watch the news or read stories about celebrity pastors or Christian authors or politicians that say they're Christian, but then they come out and have 10 mistresses and are stealing money and abusing people. And that's happening on the outside, on the inside, and people saying they're Christians. And you're like, this guy was like a master theologian. He wrote 30 books and he's been abusing women for 30 years. What is going on? And with the outside world looking in, how discouraging. If I was not a Christian and didn't know people who are Christians, I'd be like, heck no. That is a bunch of crud and it's all a grift. And this is what our young people are seeing, and they're seeing it because they see so much social media. Like, what is this Christian thing? This is messed up. I don't want to be a Christian if this politician, that's a Christian. And it's so easy to get riled up and caught up into that and think about that and be discouraged by that. But here is the reality. We are the light bearers. We get to be the people that spread the gospel. We cannot control what's out there, but we can control how we are living and serving Jesus. And that what I just said is just like the outside, people from a distance that you see on TV or read about. But what about the people that you know who have burned you? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been burned by the church or burned by someone in the church? Someone that says they're a Christian, and we're not to judge. I mean, some of the people are not Christian. They're just not, and they are grifters. And some people are Christians and they're struggling, and I don't know, and it's not our place to judge where their heart is. We can look at fruits and go, that's not good fruit, but God will decide. It's really discouraging, and a lot of people have been hurt by the church. But the antidote to cynicism isn't pretending the hurt didn't happen. It's not to dismissing the pain. The damage is real. So I'm not saying just forget about it and move on. You got to deal with that and work through it and be healed. Don't skip that part. But here is the question and the challenge I have for us today. Will you let the faithful people in your life be louder than the ones who have wounded you? Will you let the faithful people in your life, because there are many, more than who have wounded you, will you let their voices be louder than the ones who have wounded you? Paul seems to be able to do this, and this is a man who's been burned. He's been betrayed. How did he do that? I don't know exactly, but I'm thinking maybe it's the shout outs. Maybe it's him recognizing all the faithful believers in his life who have stuck their necks out for him and risked their lives for him, and walked alongside him, and visited him in prison. Romans 16, 19 through 20. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And then in verses 21 and 24, he goes on to say a bunch of other people say hi. Be wise about what is good, innocent about what is evil, and know truth well enough to recognize the error. The God of peace will prevail. Hang in there. So what's the application in that for us? Look for the light bearers wherever you are. Be a light wherever you are. But open your eyes to the light bearers who are around you. Think about the faithful believers who have stuck it out with you and supported you and encouraged you. Your Phoebes, Priscillas, Aquilas. Who's coming to your mind? Bonus, tell them. Tell them. Thank them. Thank God for them. Pray for them. When I think of these people, I think of my mother-in-law, a faithful ordinary believer. You will never catch her on a stage. She is not a big personality, but she is the one we go to when we need prayer. She is one that texted me this morning and said, I'm praying for you this morning. She is the one that digs into my kids' lives, steps into what they care about, and shows interests and does Bible studies with them if they're open to it. Single mom. So shout out to the single moms and dads who are trying to make it through every day, working and trying to raise kids and trying to co-parent from a distance. And you can do it. And you can produce kids who love the Lord and who are awesome through your faithfulness, not through the books they're reading, not through what they're saying on social media, but through you, the everyday, ordinary, faithful believer like my mother-in-law, who has served faithfully in her little church in Fallbrook for 189 years. And I texted her this morning, because I know she's done a lot for Awanas and VBS at her school. And so I texted her this morning and I asked her, hey, remind me how long you've done this snack thing at Awanas and what exactly is that like? And she responded, I think I kind of tricked her. She wasn't thinking, oh, you're going to share this at church and I don't have permission. So Father, forgive me, I've sinned, maybe. She's probably going to watch this. I love you. But she's amazing. So this is what she sends me. For Awana, I did individual snacks once a month for each kid, themed cupcakes, special seasonal decorated cookies, etc., for almost 3 years until the count got up to 100. Then, because my kitchen is so small, it would take me 3 days to do them. And it got really expensive because I would package them all separately in fancy packaging. Just store-bought snacks last year for them, but it was kind of a waste because they didn't really eat them all. Because they wanted her well-loved, custom, homemade, healthier snacks. And did this for years after raising kids as a single mom and grinding and not having money. I mean, that's someone on a budget that is pouring her lives out to these children in the church. And then she ended, she told me some about her VBS stuff. Then at the end, she says this sweet thing. Maybe more info than you needed if you're going to do snacks. It's like, that is not why I was getting that information. I don't have that gene. Well, I kind of do. I actually bake, but that is, I mean, she is so fancy and amazing. And so there are people in your life, like we call her Grams, who have stood faithful and by your side and prayed for you fervently. Those are the people that we want to focus on. The faithful, ordinary believers that change the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also think of my husband, the product of my mother-in-law. And you're not going to catch him likely on stage either, except if it's at middle school youth group, because he volunteers faithfully every week in middle schoolers. Let me just stop and give a shout out for anyone that does youth ministry, children's ministry. Who volunteered in this kids camp that they just had? Any of the people? Okay. How about who went and volunteered at the high school camp that was a couple weeks ago? Where are those people? Okay, it's my left side. Okay, and right there, okay. Shout out to the people who are pouring into the next generation and the next generation of faithful believers. And all those snacks, all that time, it matters. And you might not see the fruit for a very long time. And it can be really discouraging in ministry when you're just pouring in and you're not seeing the fruits. But trust me, God is moving and he is working and that fruit comes. And I, again, back to my husband, Shiloh, someone asked him that was a friend of ours who was doing youth ministry, not even at our church, will you come help in middle school? Sure. This was like 6 years ago or something. That guy has left. My husband's still there every week. He'd be on stage doing stupid stuff for middle school. He's meeting with our kids, doing Bible studies, hanging out, spending time, like living out the gospel faithfully. So my kids go and look at the news and see some dipstick pastor that abused his whole congregation. They don't need to focus on that. They can go, I got my dad. Look at him. So that's the challenge for us. Don't be distracted by all that, all the wounded people have wounded you or the people out there that stink. Almost said suck, but I didn't. That stink because I'm in church. I'll focus on the Shilohs, the Grahams, the people who've walked alongside you, the light bearers wherever you are. And then the third part. So we've got Paul doing the shout outs, Paul putting out the warning. And now we have Paul pointing us to God, who is the sustainer and the protector of our faith. Romans 16:25-27. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is one heck of a long run-on sentence. And that is how they did it. But I that was long. It's a communication coach. That's tricky. But this is how doxologies worked back then. Functions as one continuous sentence in the original Greek. And it follows the exact grammatical blueprint of a biblical doxology. The reason that the unlikely family existed then, and then the reason it exists now, to him who is able. That small group of 200 to 500 believers, like I said, now globally is over 2 billion. That's insane. Christianity is the largest religion in the world. That in and of itself is not proof that it's truth, but put it together with archaeological evidence, manuscript evidence, change lives, Holy Spirit moving, to him who is able. What is in your life do you need him to move in spiritually? To him who is able. Maybe you have a dad that doesn't know Jesus and you've been praying and you want to see that movement to him who is able. Or you have kids that have walked away from the Lord. To him who is able. Give that to God and continue day by day. Stay faithful to the Lord. Stay obedient to the Lord. Stay in the word and live out the faith like we see in Romans 16 in these unlikely family of believers. We started today looking at my son Elijah's wedding photos. And I'm standing there watching him start a new family. And my greatest prayer for my kids is not that they become famous or wealthy or powerful or have the best jobs in the world. My prayer is simply that they live lives of ordinary faithfulness wherever God leads them. That they surround themselves with the unlikely family of believers like Phoebe and the Priscillas and Aquilas, and hopefully their mother-in-law sometimes. To all the dads and father figures here today, thank you for how you encourage and love and protect and show up for your kids. It matters. And to the whole church family here, let's be the kind of church who celebrates one another, who doesn't get discouraged and down in the dumps and skeptical and cynical and bitter about all the bad church stuff. But instead, we encourage one another in the faith and we spur one another on in love and we protect each other and we rely on each other and we rely on God to sustain this unlikely family to him who is able. God, thank you for who you are and that you are a good Heavenly Father and that you love us and you see us. I pray for anyone here who maybe had an absent earthly father, didn't know their father, or a bad earthly father. Lord, I pray special blessing over them today that they would see you in your love and protection and provision. And then they would see the people in their lives who have become like fathers to them and be thankful. Lord, we are thankful for who you are in our lives, for your Holy Spirit, for your word, and for your people and your theology in Romans. Help us to apply it and to stay faithful to you in a world that maybe isn't, that we would stay faithful and true to you and who you've made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.